Happy New Year, friends, and welcome to this inaugural edition of a new program we're calling Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm your host, John Sloop. Now, many of you have been listening to Donna Lou Schickel and her wonderful A Place of Grace program for a long time, and we are deeply grateful that Donna Lou has asked us to follow in her footsteps. Now, it's going to take three of us to try and fill Donna Lou's shoes, so I'm happy to have with me in the studio this morning Rita Dunaway and Dean Welty, who join me in making up the Crossroads team, and you'll hear from Dean and Rita in a moment. Now, we'll miss Donna Lou, but she's not going away. She will join us periodically to contribute her insights on what it means to live at the crossroads where faith and culture meet. Now, perhaps you're wondering, what will this new program, Crossroads, be all about? Well, first of all, we want to keep you informed about issues in our community, the Commonwealth, and the nation that impact the body of Christ. Issues of faith, family, freedom, and life. It is also our goal to challenge and motivate you to get involved in the public square and put your faith into action, heeding Jesus' command to be salt and light in our communities. As we work together, we want to have a transforming influence on the Valley and at the Capitol in Richmond. Each week, we will share the gospel and pray that God would bring a personal and national revival. Everything we do and say on this program will be grounded and based on Scripture. And we'll be guided by what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote these words, "I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I love that verse. It's been a life verse for me. The challenge is that a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. Unlike the sacrifices in the Old Testament that were killed and their blood was shed for the remission of sin, a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. And much of the New Testament letters were written to challenge believers to get back on the altar. And Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Who has deceived you, and how are you so quickly turning away from the gospel of freedom and grace?" And therefore, we're called to be a kind of sacrifice that is daily renewing our commitment. It's a continual call to the church to get back on the altar, to stand firm in the truth, to hold fast to the faith once delivered. Now, this word conformed, Dean and Rita, actually in the Greek means to be pressed into a mold, just like candle wax was poured into a mold to shape it. And so Paul is saying, don't allow the world to press you into its mold. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, by the teaching of Scripture. And so that's what our call will be. The transformation takes place as we turn back to the Bible and are shaped by its teaching. And that's what Crossroads is all about, a place that calls us back to the altar and transforms us to being more and more like Jesus. So, let's have a prayer as we begin our time together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to connect with our friends in the Valley on this Sunday morning. And Lord, to acknowledge that you are indeed the sovereign Lord, you're the creator of the universe, and you sustain all that you have made by your grace and by your power. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who indwells all believers and who guides us into truth. And Lord, as we begin this new year and as we begin this new program, Crossroads, where faith and culture meet, we pray for your blessing, for your guidance in all that we do and say. May you be pleased and may we glorify you. It's in the strong and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the Crossroads team. And let's begin with Rita. Rita Dunaway. Why don't you begin, Rita, and tell us a bit about yourself and what has drawn you to Crossroads?
Sure. Well, I'm honored to be here. I'm really excited about this new program. You wanted to know about me. Well, the title that I hear most often when people refer to me these days is Mommy, because that is my primary role in life right now. But I'm an attorney by profession. My husband, Scott Dunaway, is a dentist in Harrisonburg, so we are firmly entrenched in this community and love it here. After law school, I spent most of my career working for the Rutherford Institute in Charlottesville. And most of my time there has really been spent protecting religious freedom and freedom of speech. So I have just been honored to do that kind of work and to stand up for people whose religious freedom in particular has been infringed. Then I had two kids, so I took some time off work for a little bit, and when my kids started school, I went back part-time, working mostly from home, which again was a huge blessing to me, to be able to stay involved in work that I'm really passionate about and get to be there for my family when they're at home and when they need me. And after several years working for the Rutherford Institute, I decided it was time to move on from that type of work, largely because I just had this conviction. I wanted to do something really proactive and positive in bringing about public policy changes and making things better in our state, our community, and even at the federal level, rather than just suing the government in response to, you know, violations of civil liberties. I wanted to work toward positive change. Now, all throughout this time, or from shortly after the time I got married and moved to Harrisonburg, I have been involved as a volunteer with the Valley Family Forum. And that's where I met Dean. And of course, that's how I came to know you as well. So that has been an incredible privilege to really be involved at the community level and in the General Assembly in Richmond. So that's a little bit about me. And before I move on, I should say that right now what I'm pursuing professionally is I'm working for the Convention of States Project.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, under the direction of Michael Ferris. And that is all about working toward triggering a convention under Article 5 of the federal Constitution so that the states can propose amendments that will rein in the power of our runaway federal government.
You know, Rita, before you introduced me to Article 5, I didn't even know it was in the Constitution, I'm ashamed to say. But once I've been introduced to it, I believe it has there's a lot of hope there for the future. And why don't you tell people just the website where they can go and maybe find out about Convention of States?
Sure. It's conventionofstates.com. And you shouldn't feel bad, Doc, because there are lots of other people who love our Constitution and are firmly committed to it, but just aren't very familiar with Article 5. So go to conventionofstates.com and you can get caught up.
Now, and again, what are the ages of your children?
They are 10 and 8.
Wow.
Fifth grade and third grade.
Rita, I don't see how you do it. I really don't see how you do it. And so that leads me to my next question, which is, with everything you have on your plate, what has motivated you to take on something else, this Crossroads program?
Well, I love the scripture that you opened us with, and I have become convinced that my life as a Christian, as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, my life is not all about just enjoying the blessings God has given me, having a happy time with my family, although that is certainly part of it. I am called to work and to use the life and the blessings that God has given me for His service. And I love the motto. My kids go to a Christian classical school, and the motto there is the good, the true, the beautiful. Mm. And I love that motto. I really believe that our calling as Christians to be salt and light mm-hmm. in the world has everything to do with pointing the world and our culture toward what is good and true and beautiful, because everything that is good and true and beautiful is just reflective of our God
yes.
and our Savior. And, you know, this is an amazing calling, and it is a privilege. Mm-hmm. We look around in our culture, and people are stumbling in darkness
yes.
everywhere we look. And it is an honor and a privilege for us. We know the truth. We see the light. And it is a serious calling to be privileged to point those around us who are stumbling in darkness toward the light. As you both know, my passion really is to do cultural engagement, first of all, to be faithful to do it.
Absolutely.
Rather than just sitting in the pew on Sunday and, you know, then going back and always being around people who think like I do. I want to be faithful to engage the culture, but not only to do it well. And Jesus is really the perfect model for that. He always stood his ground. He always stood for truth and righteousness, but he was always winsome
yes.
and wise in the way he did it. And I want to emulate him. Another passion of mine is moving beyond the sound bites that we hear all the time in the news, moving beyond that into meaningful engagement on the issues, getting beyond the 3 seconds, you know, or the 2-sentence summary of an issue. I really think that obscures truth when everything is, you know, put into 2 sentences
yes.
and, we need to be able to move beyond that and help people to be able to discern what is good and true and beautiful.
Well put. And hopefully our goal is here at Crossroads is to have that opportunity to, in greater depth, discuss some of these very, very important issues. Well, Rita, being a lawyer, is going to bring to us that constitutional lawyer input, which is so necessary in some of these issues. Thank you, Rita. We'll look forward to your insightful commentary on Sunday mornings throughout the year. Now, Dean Welty. Dean, you are certainly no stranger to the Valley Faithful, but take a moment to help us know a little bit about who you are, where you've come from, a little bit about your life, and then also your hopes and dreams for Crossroads.
Well, thank you, John, and it's really a privilege to be here with you and Rita. I've known for ever since we've come to the Valley, basically. I sat in your men's Bible study every Thursday morning, and at the end of every study, there was an application. So what? Bringing it home.
Yep.
And that's really, that was very helpful to me in the time that we were together. Rita mentioned her association with the Valley Family Forum, and that, too, has gone back for 12 years, ever since the Valley Family Forum was established. And so I cannot think of two friends I would rather spend this time with on Crossroads. Now, you raised the question, who am I, why am I here? I think there was a vice presidential candidate who asked that question of himself at one time. John, it's very simple. I could go back into my background. I was a factory worker working my way through college, came here to the Valley as a student at Eastern Mennonite University many years ago, met my wife there, and so that really introduced me to the Valley. And so when it came time to find a permanent place to live, I'll get to that in a moment about where we wandered during this time, but there was just no question about it. We wanted to come back to the Valley. It's a very, very special place. So in three brief sentences, here is who I am, John. First, I am a child of God. God is first in my life. I surrendered my life to him when I was 9 years old. You talked about sometimes getting off the table, and I got off the table several times, and I had to be brought back. But just that surrender to God, the Father, and to his Son, Jesus Christ, has really transformed my life, as Rita was saying. It's that transformation. And so I look to the Bible and to the Holy Spirit, how I should now live, as various people have said. So that's number one in who I am. The second thing is, and Rita mentioned as well, I'm not mommy. I am honey.
And you're also Poppy, I think, aren't
well,
you?
Well, no, I'm getting to that. But first of all, it's honey, and I've been honey for 44 years now. And the same wonderful woman who has really been the string on my kite and kind of kept me guided and grounded. And so that's first who I am. It's family. First is God. Second is family. But you've already preempted this a little bit or foreshadowed it. The second label is Bubba.
Yeah.
And I have five wonderful grandchildren ranging in age from 3 months to 13 years. Would you like to see some pictures?
Only if I can show you mine.
Yeah, right.
And I have nine grandchildren. So
well, anyway, so that is really that's really the second second identification of who I am. It's all about family. And then the third identification is country. So it's God, it's family, and it's country. Why is country so important? I grew up in an environment where culture or country wasn't particularly emphasized. In fact, we had this sort of be ye not transformed to the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And so the way I grew up was we're not supposed to identify too closely with country. Well, fortunately, in the course of time, I went to Japan as a missionary for a couple of years. That opened my eyes to the world outside. And so that prompted me to join the Foreign Service. For 26 years, I served as a diplomat in the Foreign Service of the United States. Two things happened.
Can you tell us the different countries where you've
Yes.
lived?
Yes. Our first assignment was in Korea. And then that followed with a couple of years in Japan, including Yokohama for language study, and then down to Okinawa. That was followed by 3 years in Papua New Guinea, which is just north of Australia, for those of who may not be familiar with that. And our final assignment, that's my area. East Asia is my specialty. But then we wanted to be closer to the children when they were in school, so our last assignment was in Jamaica. In between that, of course, we had assignments in Washington, D.C., in New York, up on Capitol Hill, and so forth.
Wow.
But, John, two things happen now, and this really leads me into Crossroads and into the Valley Family Forum, because when we came back after being overseas, back and forth for 26 years, I think some of our listeners may be familiar with Rip Van Winkle. He went up into the mountains. He got drunk 20 years. I don't know. And he had to sleep it off. It took him 20 years.
Are you confessing here, Dean? Or?
That's not how I got
this
off the table.
This is just an image.
Okay. It's a great story, though. This man was up in the mountains, got drunk, slept. It took 20 years to sleep it off, came stumbling back into his town. He said, "What has happened to my community? What's happened to my family?" Maybe he said, "What's happened to my church? What's happened to my country?" That was my first epiphany. We returned to the Valley in 1998 to establish our permanent home, and we had that epiphany. What has happened to the country I love, to the country that I left and have been away from? And the more I researched it, the more I became concerned about the direction of America.
Yes.
That was epiphany number one. The second epiphany came in 2001 when I held my first grandson, little Sam, in my hands. And I felt this responsibility, this burden. What kind of world am I leaving to Sammy? And so two scriptures really came to mind. One was Ezekiel that you're familiar with, our listeners are, which is God looked for a man to stand in the gap,
mm-hmm.
and there was none.
Mm.
I was caught. I had let these things happen because I was pursuing career. I was pursuing any number of things. I didn't know what was happening in our culture, in our government. That was number one. The second scripture was one you really introduced me to, which is the parable of the farmer, the parable of the tares. A farmer sowed good seed in the field, but three words, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed bad seed in those fields. Once again, I was in the crosshairs here. I was convicted. And so that launched us into establishing the Valley Family Forum, and we'll talk about that later. But it's been a pleasure to be with you and Rita in working through the Valley Family Forum, the issues here in the Valley and in the Commonwealth. And I have to go back to something that Rita said just a minute ago. When she became a part of the Valley Family Forum, we started attacking the SOBs in Harrisonburg. Well, that, by the way, is sexually oriented businesses.
Thank you for clarifying that.
And
this is a family program.
Yes. But one thing Rita made very clear from the beginning, she said, "Dean, if this is just going to be a chit-chat society, I have better things to do."
Yep.
She talked about the need to be active. And she has certainly illustrated the need to be active.
Well, Dean, why don't you give us the Valley Family Forum website so that people can go and learn more about it?
Absolutely. Just in a nutshell, it's all about faith, family, and freedom. Issues of life, issues of marriage and the family, religious liberty. And they can go to valleyfamilyforum.org.
Thank you so much. Maybe you've already addressed this, Dean, but say a bit more about why you're excited about this particular venture, Crossroads. What's your passion for Crossroads itself?
John, there's a verse in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yes.
I have a vision. You, both of you have a vision. It grows out of a concern for the direction of our country.
Yes.
And we're not the only ones who share this. Our listeners, I'll bet if we took a poll, every one of our listeners would raise the hand and say, "I am concerned about the direction of America." I'll just say this, 5 different areas. Spiritually, we have gotten away from God. We have thrown him out of our schools when he took prayer and the Bible out. We have rejected him. So spiritually, we have gotten off track. The second thing is morally. And that's what the faith and culture Crossroads is all about. We need to get back to the moral foundations of our founders. The third one is economically. And fourth one is politically. A fifth one is internationally. So these are the concerns that bring me to Crossroads, where faith and family intersect. John, how about you?
Well,
I thought you'd forgotten
about me. Now, thank you, Dean, for sharing your story and for the passion you bring. Thank you, Rita. It's been said before, but I just treasure our time together and our working together. You guys are an inspiration to me, and I'm just glad to be part of the team. Well, I have just recently retired within the last year.
Ain't no such thing, John.
Well, I've retired from my paying job.
Yes.
Where for 27 years, it was my joy, my privilege to serve the wonderful people at First Presbyterian Church on Court Square here in Harrisonburg, 27-year ministry. Prior to that, I was in Atlanta, Georgia for 14 years, a church in the suburbs of Atlanta. But my journey began in Brazil, South America. My parents were missionaries in Brazil. Mom and Dad like to say they got married in 1936, went to Brazil on their honeymoon, and never came back. So I'm the youngest of 4. All of us were born in Brazil, and I hold dual citizenship. And I am bilingual. I speak Portuguese and love to practice Portuguese with my Brazilian friends here in Harrisonburg and in the Valley. And so that's how I began. And I'm so grateful for the wonderful biblical worldview that my parents gave me. I was homeschooled by necessity in Brazil, went to primarily Christian schools, Christian college, and went into the ministry. That was my call from the time I was 9 years old. I've always known I wanted to follow in my father's footsteps and be in the pastoral ministry. I went to seminary in Gordon-Conwell in Boston for a while, transferred to Columbia Seminary, so my roots really are in the South. And, Dean, I really owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude for challenging me as a pastor to see that my parish was beyond Court Square.
It's now the Valley.
It's
John.
Now, well, it's the Valley and it's the nation.
Yes.
And I'm grateful to you and to Rita for opening my eyes to really, again, what it means to be salt and light. You gave me a book years ago by Tom Minery entitled Why You Can't Stay Silent. Yes. And I read that book and realized that as a pastor, I was called not just to be a preacher and to take care of the sheep in my little flock, but to be prophetic to the community. And so that sort of reader, it gave me a new paradigm in ministry, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for you and Rita inviting me to join the Valley Forum team. And
Serving as our chaplain.
And serving as your chaplain. Mm-hmm. And now this new venture, Crossroads, it seems to me, is a logical flow from that. It gives us an opportunity to address the community and share our deep concerns about what's happening in our nation. And I'm so concerned that that we have forgotten our religious heritage. And the opportunity through Crossroads to remind people who we are and our marvelous religious heritage and to reclaim that. And I also have a passion through this program to address pastors and good church-going people to get out of the pew and into the public square and to make a difference and to not allow the media to muzzle us and to keep us from speaking because we have those rights under the Constitution. So I'm so excited about what God has in store for us. I must say that I've been married to a lovely lady, Gwen Davis, the daughter of a Presbyterian minister, for 44 years. We have three married children. They all live in Harrisonburg, and they have given us 9 grandchildren. And that also drives me, Dean, my concern about what kind of legacy will we leave to our children.
Well, I'm even more excited about this program after hearing your stories again. It just gets me fired up. And I have to add that I really don't know anywhere else where an audience can hear from a clergyman, an activist, and a lawyer slash mom all in the same program.
Absolutely.
So tell us what's going to be coming up.
Well, you've been listening to the very first edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. And we thank you for tuning in, Donna Lou's faithful audience. Thank you for listening to us this morning. And we invite you to come back next week when we will explore the laws and legislation our elected officials in Richmond will be considering for the upcoming year. In other words, what is the legislative agenda for 2015? Dean and Rita, you all are very interested in policy and in legislation. What are some of the things we can look forward to?
Well, you alluded to our religious liberty being under attack a few minutes ago, and that will definitely be a big issue in the General Assembly in Richmond in 2015. So we'll be talking about some of those issues and the specific legislation coming up.
Outstanding. I know that Dean and Rita and I several times have gone to Richmond and have had the opportunity to actually speak before committees. And average people can make an impact. We simply have to take that stand. Well, we want you in the Valley to be informed about what's happening in Richmond and through legislation so that you can influence your legislators to take a stand for biblical morality and hold our elected officials accountable to the standards of our Judeo-Christian heritage and our precious constitutional principles. And so, we want to hear from you. What are your concerns for our community? What are your concerns for our commonwealth? What issues would you like us to address from a biblical perspective? So we invite you to email us at crossroadsharrisonburg@gmail.com. That's crossroadsharrisonburg@gmail.com. This is your host, John Sloop, along with Dean and Rita, encouraging you to be salt and light and to make a difference at the crossroads where faith and culture meet. Dean, would you close us in prayer?
I will indeed, and we'll look forward to being together again next week. But it's a prayer that I prayed for 29 years. Father, just give us wisdom in all we think and do and say. Pray for guidance for tomorrow and beyond, for discernment between what is right and wrong and the courage to act on that discernment. Father, give us strength of mind, body, and spirit, comfort when we're weak and when we fail, but above all, the fullness of your spirit in our lives throughout the remainder of this day and this week. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to email us at crossroadsharrisonburg@gmail.com. That's crossroadsharrisonburg@gmail.com.